नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas before starting today's discussion. So yesterday we started with this 25th chapter of 4th canto titled The Description of the Characteristics of King Puranjan. So today we'll continue with the chapter. Before starting with the, yesterday we completed till the 31st verse. So before starting, we will just quickly go through the recap, what we have seen till now, and then we'll continue further. So we'll do the same thing. One of you can take the role of Puranjan the king, and I'll be the Puranjan the soul.
Once there was a king by the name Puranjana.
Once there was a soul who is Puranjan, who is creator of the body. Puram Nayati iti Puranjan.
He was very famous. Brihat Sarvaha.
Shrava.
Shrava.
He was very much interested in hearing about his own sense gratification. Brihat Shrava.
He had a friend whose name and activities were unknown.
The jiva is not aware of the name and activities of his friend, the super soul.
Searching for a place to live, King Puranjana wandered the earth, and not finding a suitable place, he became depressed.
Searching for a body to reside, the jiva wandered through various species, and not finding a suitable body, he became depressed.
He thought that all places on earth were not suitable.
The jiva thought that all species were not suitable.
Once on the southern ridge of Himalayas, Puranjana found a city with 9 gates and understood that it was suitable.
In the land of Bharatvarsha, the soul found a human body and understood that it was suitable.
The city had walls, groves, a head, moats, lattice windows, gates, and pinnacles of gold, silver, and iron, and houses.
The human body had skin, sense objects, mouth, gunas, hair pores, eyes, and other openings. 3 dhatus and the 6 chakras.
The palace had places made of ruby.
The body had places within the heart.
It had other jeweled places.
The body had nadis.
The city was shining like Bhogavati, the city of Nagas.
The body only seemed to have pleasure but did not. Bhogavati Iva.
It had a sitting place, an intersection, a main street, gambling houses, marketplace, a resting area, stages made of coral, and was decorated with flags and banners.
The body had heart, which was a sitting place, the place of intersection of the nose, throat, eyes and ears were the intersection. The location of spine was the main street. Location of senses is the gambling houses. Mind is the marketplace. Chitta is the resting place. The soles of feet and hands are the flags, and the 5 miseries are the banner.
Outside the city were groves filled with beautiful trees with fruits and flowers, water bodies, chirping birds and a gentle breeze.
The world outside this jiva's body was filled with all 5 kinds of sense objects to satisfy his senses.
The forest was filled with non-violent animals and free of violent animals.
This Puranjan's jiva was endowed with all pious credits and was devoid of impious credits. Therefore his enjoyment was not troubled by any obstacles.
There Puranjana,
yes.
And the lake and the tree, that is considered to be genitals, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It indicates all the sense
Shabda objects. Rasa, Shabda Sparsha Rasa Rupaganda, all of them together.
All five.
Okay. It doesn't indicate specifically the sex pleasure.
Prabhupada writes about it like that in the purport.
Okay.
But then it includes all. That's how it's mentioned.
There Puranjana saw a beautiful woman.
The Jiva met with his dharmic material intelligence.
She had arrived there on her own.
The initial relationship of the Jiva with his intelligence is without a cause.
She had 10 male servants and unlimited female servants.
The intelligence is assisted by 10 senses and unlimited actions of the senses.
She was protected by a 5-hooded serpent.
The intelligence was protected by the 5 functions of the prana.
She was wearing various ornaments.
The intelligence was filled with various impressions of sense gratification.
She had beautiful nose and teeth.
The intelligence of Puranjan's Jiva was endowed with superior ability to taste and smell.
She had a beautiful forehead.
The intelligence of the Jiva had very good clarity.
She was dark in complexion.
The color of intelligence is black.
She was wearing a yellow cloth.
The intelligence of Puranjan was covered with mode of passion.
She moved using 2 feet jingling with ankle bells.
Puranjan's intelligence covered by mode of passion was unsteady in hearing scriptures.
She had 2 beautiful breasts.
The Jiva's intelligence is endowed with attraction and repulsion.
The breasts were youthful.
Even though one may grow old, the attraction and repulsion is always young.
The breasts were of equal size.
Both attraction and repulsion equally bewilder a person.
The 2 breasts had no space in between them.
Attraction and repulsion are non-different and any time may transform into the other.
She was trying to cover them because of shyness.
Cultured people try to cover their attraction and repulsion.
Puranjana was pierced by the affectionate glances of the lady, of this lady.
The Jiva becomes enamored by the impressions of sense gratification presented by the intelligence.
Puranjana approached the lady and spoke with her as follows.
The Jiva, by his own free will, becomes bound by ignorance. The Jiva is not forcefully bound by the Lord with ignorance.
Puranjana to the lady. Who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing here? What are those followers? Who are those followers? Etc.
The Jiva speaks to the intelligence. Because of attraction to the Jiva, because of attraction, the Jiva is trying to woo his intelligence by speaking sweet words.
Are you looking for a husband who follows Dharma in this forest alone?
Every Jiva is attracted by his material intelligence and wants to establish a relationship.
Where is the lotus bud that has fallen from your hand?
The discerning power of the Jiva has been thrown away by the intelligence.
Are you Bhavani, Saraswati or Lakshmi?
Every Jiva considers his intelligence to be excellent and attractive to others due to lack of discernment.
You are not any of them as your feet is touching the ground.
By a little consideration, one can understand that one's intelligence is not that great.
Please marry me and reside here like Lakshmi stays in Vaikuntha.
In spite of that, the Jiva is eager to establish a relationship with his intelligence.
My eyes are shattered by your beautiful glance.
The Jiva's eyes of knowledge are shattered by the impressions of sense gratification that the intelligence is producing.
Please be merciful to me.
Give me enjoyment of sense objects such as sound and touch.
Please show me your full face endowed with beautiful features.
O material intelligence, you have cheated me of the spiritual bliss. At least provide a wealth of sense objects so that I can enjoy. So this is where we ended last time. So is there any questions, comments?
Regarding that beautiful forehead, na? That was shown as the clarity of intelligence. So how to understand that? Because here it seems like he was attracted to a woman and he had impression of all the thing that is shattering his knowledge. And here it is written as a clarity of intelligence.
I don't understand what he means. One's intelligence is not that great.
Yeah.
Nay, see, clarity, see, it's all, in one sense you can understand it's a relative. It's not, we're not speaking on an absolute platform. It's a relative. good but not that great. Like that. Anything else? Okay. So we'll continue with today's discussion. Establishing relationship with intelligence means establishing a relationship with Maya so that one can enjoy in this material world. Collaboration. Okay. Is this allegory clear till now? Because the next four chapters is allegory only. That is one of the functions of intelligence.
So I am now suffering, so you may know that.
My senses have stolen my power of discrimination. Yeah.
So here, that means their intelligence is good for the person. That means intelligence is, intelligence means the discriminating power.
Yeah.
It's stolen by my senses. So now I am become ignorance like this.
Yeah.
He's saying there.
Mm.
So here intelligence.
So I don't understand your question. Where?
In that sloka in Mukunda.
Yeah, he says the Andasyame Hrita Viveka Mahadanasya Chauraihi Prabhu Balibir Indriya Namade.
That verse.
Yeah. He says my senses have stolen my intelligence, power of discrimination has been stolen by my senses. Okay.
And so here intelligence is not we are not glorifying her intelligence.
Oh, like that. Okay. See, actually, ideally, the intelligence should be controlled by the soul. Indriyani paranyahur indriyabhya paramanah. That is the ideal hierarchy. But then when one gets into the grips of the three modes, then the hierarchy becomes a dynamic hierarchy. It's no longer, it's no longer always the soul controlling the intelligence controlling the mind controlling the senses. Many times it becomes, the other way around, or sometimes when one is trying to, pull himself back, then it becomes a dynamic one. So ideally, the soul has to guide the intelligence, and that guided intelligence must control the mind like that. So that is proper discrimination.
Because there he is saying the Mahadhana, my main rich is, main wealth is intelligence. In that verse.
Yeah. That is not intelligence guided by Maya. It is spiritual intelligence. This is material intelligence. Do you want to comment?
Actually, in Prabhupada's purports, you will find Prabhupada using adjectives like lusty intelligence, fickle mind, loose senses, like that. So all of these three represent impurity. But the intelligence being the next door neighbor of mind, sometimes the intelligence can be misled by the mind also. Prabhupada says, although the intelligence, just like a husband is superior, he brings the money, but the wife can take husband to your shop and take a dozen saris and, he will have to take his credit card and empty it. So Prabhupada says like that. So it's not that intelligence is superior, it cannot be cheated by the mind. Only the intelligence which is placed at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, and it is purified, then Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitate. That cannot be cheated.
Anything else? Functions of... We saw in Kapiladev section 326. Functions of mind is acceptance and rejection in general and in specific, and intelligence main function is discrimination, and also, you know, what is it, nischaya, discriminating what is the right knowledge, rejecting wrong knowledge, doubt, swapa, sleep. These are like various functions of intelligence. Okay. Prachinavari has not yet understood. He will understand later.
What lesson we derive?
That's what is given here.
These
the right hand side.
These are the lessons.
This is the proper understanding that the acharyas are giving. Okay, which Narada Muni is anyway going to give little later to Prachinavarhi. Okay. We'll start next. Okay, so we'll continue. Narada Uvacha Ittam Puranjanam Nari Yachamanam Adhiravat Abhyanandata Tam Viram Hasanti Vira Mohita. Oh, Vira, who is addressing whom? Narada Muni is addressing Prachinavarhi. Okay, Narada Uvacha. Hasanti Nari, the smiling woman, Adhiravat Puranjanam Mohita. Puranjanam Mohita. She was also attracted to Puranjan. Adhiravat. What is the meaning of Adhira? Adhira is foolish. Adhiravat means as if foolish. He was acting as if foolish, but he was not foolish. Who is this Puranjan?
The soul.
The Jiva. So Jiva by nature is not foolish. So he was acting foolish under the clutches of Maya. So therefore, the smiling woman also got attracted to Puranjan, which means Maya is also equally eager to establish a relationship with the living entity. Okay, if you remember, these were the questions asked by Devahuti to Kapila Dev. Okay, when he was describing about the path of liberation. Okay, so she said, you know, doesn't seem that easy as you are describing it. So we'll see those. And he says, ittam yachamanam, while Puranjan was imploring her in this way, the smiling woman who was also attracted to Puranjan, she started addressing Puranjan. Okay, indicating that Maya is also equally eager to establish a relationship with the soul. So this is what, if you remember, in the 27th chapter of 3rd canto, Devahuti asked these following questions to Kapila Dev about the rarity of liberation. She says, my dear Lord, you have described about this path of achieving liberation, but I don't think it's that easy. She says, just like the Supreme Lord, just like Prakriti never gives up the association of Supreme Lord. Why? Because it's a anyonya apashraya. What is the meaning of anyonya? Mutual. Anyonya apashrayatvat. Because the Lord is eager to give shelter and Prakriti is eager to take shelter. Because of this anyonya apashraya, you never see Prakriti giving up shelter of her master, the Supreme Lord. Similarly, in the case of the Jiva and Prakriti, the Jiva is very eager to take shelter of Prakriti and the Prakriti is all the more eager to give shelter to the Jiva. So therefore, I don't think liberation must be that easy as you are explaining. This is what was Devahuti's questions to Kapila Dev. Same thing. Here you see the lady also becoming attracted to Puranjan. She wants to also respond to him by speaking, indicating that the material energy is also very eager to establish a relationship with the jiva. Is it clear? Okay. So, okay, let's continue. Navidamavayam samyak kartaram purusharshaba atmanascha parasyapi gotram namacha yat kritam. Oh, purusharshaba, who is speaking? The lady, intelligence, she is speaking. Oh, purusharshaba. Navayam samyak vidama kartaram. Actually, you have asked me so many questions, but I do not know answer for any of these questions. Na vayam samyak vidama kartaram. I do not know who produced me. Na vayam vidama atmanascha parasyapi gotram nama chayatkritam. Nor do I know the name of my family, nor do I know the names and families of others who are accompanying me. None of these details that you asked me, I know the answer for that. So who is speaking? The lady is speaking. And the lady indicates intelligence. So symbolically, what this indicates is that the materially contaminated intelligence cannot claim to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what it means. It means the materially contaminated intelligence cannot claim to know the constitutional position of either the soul or the Supreme Lord. That's indicated by the answer given by this lady. I do not know. Whatever you are asking me, I do not know. Is it clear? So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the jiva is ignorant of his origin, the origin of the world, etc. All these things the jiva is ignorant. Scientists and philosophers speculate and try to understand this, but actually no one knows. In this verse, the girl is expressing the actual position of the jiva. Actual position of the jiva means which jiva? Conditioned living entity. Otherwise the jiva knows. The jiva in its constitutional position knows everything. He is Sat Chit Ananda. He is cognizant of all these facts. He is cognizant of his own constitutional position. He is cognizant of the constitutional position of the Supreme Lord. But then the conditioned living entity does not know, which is indicated by the reply of this lady, who indicates intelligence. Actually, she indicates materially contaminated intelligence. Therefore, a materially contaminated jiva cannot claim to know his own constitutional position and the constitutional nature of the Supreme Lord. Is it clear? Okay, let's continue. Ihadya santamatmanam vidama natataparam yeneyam nirmita vira puri sharanam atmanah. O Veera, who is addressing whom? Lady is addressing Puranjan. Vidama atmanam iha adhyasantam. I know only one thing. I know that I am existing here today. That much I know. Na tataparam. Nothing else do I know. Okay. Na vidama yena atmanah sharanam. I do not know by whom my shelter. What is her shelter? Iyam puri. This city, which is acting as my shelter right now, nirmita. Yena nirmita. Na vidama iyam puri nirmita. I do not know by whom this city, which is acting as my shelter right now, has been created. Who has created this city? I don't know. Okay. Like that. Is it clear? So, though in that particular story, King Puranjan, seeing the magnificence of that particular city, he would have understood that maybe some great sage like Kardam Muni must have constructed this city. But nevertheless, to establish a relationship, he is asking her, who constructed this city? Why are you here? Like that. Okay. Similarly, the conditioned living entity also sort of knows, okay, this father and this mother must have created me. Like that. So she says that actually I do not know who built this city. Same thing. The conditioned living entity cannot claim to know the ultimate source of even his material body. He may think that it is his father and biological father and mother, but in essence, in actuality, he does not know. He cannot claim to know. Is it clear? So Prabhupada writes in the purport, everyone is born ignorant, and in this ignorance we create nationalism, philanthropy and all such things. But the basic principle behind all this is ignorance. Be it nationalism or philanthropy or whatever it may be. What then is the value of all the material advancement if the basic principle behind all this is ignorance? That's what Prabhupada is asking. What is the value of all this advancement if the basic principle behind all this advancement is ignorance? Unless a person takes up to Krishna consciousness and dissipates this ignorance, all his activities are defeated. Like that. Okay? So, then she continues to speak. Ete sakaya sakyo me nara naryascha manada suptayam maye jagarti nago yam palayan purim. O manada, O respectful one, ete nara naryascha me sakaya sakya. These men and women that you are seeing, they are my friends. Mayi suptayam nagaha jagarti. And when I am sleeping, this serpent that you see, he stays awake. Ayam purim palayan. And he protects this city. Okay? Like that she is telling. So she says, these men and women are my friends. And while I sleep, this bodyguard of mine, in the form of a snake, he remains awake even when I sleep. And then he protects this city. Is it clear? So, of course, we all know who are the male friends. Male friends are the 10 senses, and the female friends are
desires
or actions of the senses. And then, when I sleep, which means during the when the living entity is sleeping, okay. Even though the men and women in deep sleep, the senses are inactive, okay, and the impressions are also inactive, okay, but the prana is awake. If the prana is also inactive, then it should be understood that the person is dead, okay. But the prana is active and protects the city, means the prana is active and protects the body, isn't it? But in a dreamy state, the senses are inactive, but the impressions are active. Okay? So in a dreamy state, the male members are inactive, but the female friends are very much active. Okay? That's what it means. Is it clear? So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the woman gave only a brief description about the male and female attendants as she was without true knowledge. Only a brief description she gave. They are my friends, that's all she said. Because they were assisting in her sense gratification, the living entity's sense gratification. So he doesn't want to analyze more than that. Okay. So that's what Prabhupada is indicating. So therefore, if you ask you know, unless he is a real philosopher or something, normal people are not so much concerned about the difference between mind, intelligence, senses and all those things. As long as they are assisting in our sense gratification, we are not so much bothered about, you know, the details and nitty-gritties of the difference and all these things. Isn't it? Huh? Of course, the if someone is involved in the you know, in the market of sense gratification, then they need to know the nitty-gritties. They will try to explore so that they can provide us with the best products to, you know, keep us in illusion. But otherwise, common man is not so much bothered about the difference, the what is the nature of intelligence, what is the nature of mind, senses and all that. He only knows that all these are my friends, they are assisting in my sense gratification, like that. When the jiva gives up this material body, the prana remains intact and is carried to the next body. This is transmigration. When the soul wakes up from his sleep, he can see his 11 friends and their wives, which are the various desires, like that. Okay. And then she continues to address Puranjan. Dishtyagatosi badram te gramyan kaman abhipsase udvahishyami tamsteham swabandubir arindama. O arindama, O killer of enemy. Dishtya agato asi. What is the meaning of dishtya? Dishtya means by good fortune. Huh? By fortune you have come here, my dear king. Bhadram te, may all good fortune be upon you. Gramyan kaman abhipsase. I understand that you are desiring material enjoyment. Swabandubir aham udvayishyami tamste. Swabandubir, along with my friends, aham udvayishyami, I will supply to you tam, all the sense gratification that you desire, material enjoyment that you desire, along with my friends, the senses, the karmendriyas, gyanendriyas and the mind, and along with all these impressions and desires, you know, I will provide you with whatever you need. Like that she promises Puranjan. Okay. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the jiva comes down to material world for enjoyment, and the intelligence represented by the woman gives him the proper direction to satisfy his senses to the best capacity. What is Prabhupada talking about? Aham udvahishyami tamste. I will supply to you all that sense enjoyment that you need. In actuality, intelligence comes from super soul. Prabhupada writes, vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Okay? Real intelligence comes from the super soul. Those in the spiritual path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. Okay? So here, this intelligence is actually the irresolute intelligence. Bahushaka intelligence is what is represented by this woman. The vyavasayatmika intelligence is actually guided by the super soul. That's what Prabhupada writes. When a devotee is progressing, his only aim is service of the Supreme Lord. Puranjan represents ordinary jiva and the woman represents his material intelligence. The intelligence supplies all paraphernalia for the jiva to enjoy. Thus, the jiva uses his intelligence to its best capacity for sense gratification. Okay, same thing Prabhupada is writing here. The jiva uses his intelligence for achieving his sense gratification. Is it clear? Okay, let's continue. Imam tvam adhitishtasva purim navamukim vibho mayopanitan grhanan kama bhogan shatam samaha. Oh vibho, my dear lord. Who is addressing whom? The lady is addressing Puranjan. Tvam aditishtasva, please stay. Imam navamukim purim, please stay in this beautiful city with 9 gates. Ghrinanaha maya upanitam kamabhogan. Ghrinanaha means grahan karo. Please accept kamabhogan, all these pleasures, maya upanitan, which are created by me, specially for you. Shatam samaha, for 100 years. Shatam samaha, where does it come? Anyone remembers? Ishopanishad, second verse. So he says, Jiji Vishet Shatam Samaha. He says, O Lord, my dear Puranjan, please stay here in this city with 9 gates and accept all the pleasures I am supplying to you and enjoy it for 100 years. Okay? Like that. Okay. Let's. Yes, Prabhuji.
In 35, text number 35 purport, somewhere in the middle, Prabhupada is saying, when the living entity gives up this material body, the vital force still remains intact and is carried to another material body, he says, and that is called transmigration.
Hmm.
And then after one line, he says below, the vital force always exists with the soul, and when the soul is awakened from so-called sleep, he can see his love and friends and all that. So I had a question about this prana. My understanding was, when the soul goes out of the body with the antakarana, which consists of man, buddhi, ahankar, you know, at that time the prana leaves the body, that's all. And the snake doesn't follow. Then when the soul enters into another body, that body provides the facility of prana, like that I was thinking. Whereas when I saw this purport, I saw Prabhupada says that the prana also goes with the soul. He says here, correct, no? He says here, when the living entity gives up the material body, the vital force still remains intact and is carried
to the next
body. Another material body, Prabhupada says. So, subtle body consists of only man, buddhi, ahankar, no, Prabhu. What is this prana? What is it made up of? Is it a subtle element or something? What it is?
Actually, I remember you asked the same question in the second canto. And then, actually, after the class, Prem Gaurang Prabhu was... I was having a discussion with him regarding the same. He was mentioning that prana is, he has read at some place and heard also, that prana actually is something not just air. It is much more subtler than that. It's some particular subtle element. But I don't remember discussing whether that prana is carried over to the next body or not. But one thing I know is intelligence, mind, and the subtle senses. The subtle nose, subtle ears, they are carried. Whether prana itself is carried or not, I am not exactly sure.
The
push
to our working senses, no?
Yeah.
And the intelligence gives push to the jnanendriyas. So when we are sleeping in the night, Prabhupada says here that the prana is always awake.
Yeah.
Even when the senses are tired, and the intelligence and mind. So the dream is caused by the prana only? Is the prana which impels the mind to...
intelligence is...
sleeping. Here he says that the vital force always remains awake even when the body and the senses become fatigued and do no work. Even in the state of unconsciousness, when we sleep, the snake or the life force remains intact and awake. Consequently, we dream when we sleep, as it is says.
So, one thing I understand is the impressions of previous enjoyment, which is indicated by the female associates, that is, they are awake. But the senses themselves are not awake. Whether prana drives the... dream, I am not very sure. Yeah. Impressions are stored in mind. Yeah, that's why it's called the.
We have been reading that she is wearing ornaments, which are actually the impressions in the intelligence. Correct, no?
Yes.
Like that, it is mentioned. But generally, I have heard that the Purva Anubhav the experiences and the impressions are stored in the mind.
Mind.
And the intelligence is only a decision maker. I didn't ask you that question at that time because man, buddhi, ahankar, they are always put as one unit only.
One unit.
Antakaran.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I didn't
yeah.
ask that question.
I would have mentioned the same thing because all four of them reside in the region of heart. So somewhere in places I have heard intelligence stores the impressions, somewhere I have heard mind stores the intelligence, mind stores the impressions, and elsewhere I have heard the impressions are stored in the heart region. So that I also have that doubt, Pooja, I'm not very sure.
Prana force the action senses and knowledge, intelligence, the action, knowledge senses. So how do we see that all the 10 senses are protecting bodyguard of intelligence? So how can in all the senses body the guard the intelligence? What do you understand by that?
Oh, you mean the bodyguard is the prana.
Prana is also an.
Prana
also
is the bodyguard.
And also the 10 senses.
They are the assistants, you know, they are the companions.
Companions.
They accompany. The bodyguard is the prana. Because he's literally
yeah.
guarding the soul within that body, like that. Okay? So, so she's telling that, you know, actually stay here for 100 years and, you know, enjoy whatever pleasures that I am giving you along with my assistants, the senses and the mind, and stay here nicely for 100 years, like that. Okay? So let's do a quick recap of what we have seen in the last few verses, 32 to 37. Okay? Someone can read. Okay.
Narada to Prachin Barhishat. The lady attracted to Puranjan spoke in response.
The material intelligence was also attracted by the spiritual sweetness of the jiva.
Lady to Puranjan, I do not know who created me, what is my name or family, who built the city, etc.
I, the material intelligence, cannot claim to know about the Supreme Lord.
The men and women are my friends and this snake protects the city while we are asleep.
The senses and actions of senses assist me. The prana protects the body during the sleep.
You have come here desiring sense enjoyment. I will provide that with my friends.
You have approached me for sense gratification. I will provide it with the senses and actions of senses.
Stay in this city for 100 years, enjoying all the sense gratification that I give you.
Stay in this body for 100 years, enjoying all the sense gratification that I give you. Like that. Yes.
Prabhu, in 34th verse, mm-hmm. in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, purport is written, what do you know? I do not know by whom my shelter the city was built. The king understood that the city was built by some sage like Kardama by his power of yoga for material enjoyment.
Mm.
Knows at least a little bit about where
the condition jiva thinks. What it means is condition jiva thinks, I know that I was created by my father and mother. Like that. Here Kardama represents like that. But he doesn't know the real creator like that.
Okay.
Okay? Yes.
The real intelligence was attracted by the spiritual sweetness.
Hmm.
That means that even material intelligence means that Maya is attracted by spiritual part.
Why is Maya attracted to the soul? Because the spirit by nature is, you know, very sweet. That's why Maya is also equally attracted to the
same thing she gets, takes away that spiritual sweetness.
She doesn't take away. She acts in such a way that it comes out completely. It is displayed completely. Maya is only assisting the living entity to come back to its constitutional nature.
We see that she covers the living
she
entity.
She covers in the sense that you have heard this story. One small boy, he is observing a caterpillar which is struggling to come out of its cocoon, you know, the covering. And then he feels very compassionate And he takes a small blade and, you know, carefully cuts that cocoon. And the caterpillar comes out. And he is hoping to see the caterpillar fly out with colorful wings as butterfly. But then, for the rest of its life, the caterpillar never develops any wings. Okay? Then his father or someone comes and explains to him, the caterpillar develops wings when it, you know, tries to push out and tear this cocoon by itself. When it exercises those muscles, that's when it develops those wings and it flies. But what you did, you didn't understand it properly. You cut the cocoon, and then without getting an opportunity to exercise those muscles, the caterpillar could never develop those wings. Okay, so Maya, being a very faithful servant of the Supreme Lord, does not really want to take the living entity away from the Supreme Lord. But just that, because the living entity in itself, in himself, is filled with desires to enjoy this material world, she wants to, in a very systematic way, teach him a lesson so that he actually develops those muscles to, you know, love the Supreme Lord. So it's not in the sense that Maya is not actually, from an external point of view, you can see that he was, any person who would not take a blade and cut that cocoon, he is very merciless. But then, that is actual mercy. Okay. Last question.
Your gross body.
Gross body.
Because in VCT explanation, it was mentioned that it is an ancient story before Jiva enters the womb.
Yeah.
So it should be subtle body, right?
Oh, in the sense, even before he entered the womb means, Puranjan comes to that city and he is examining the city. So before even the living entity, accepts the womb of the mother, this is before Puranjan accepts a human body.
So this means Jiva is interacting with.
Yeah, he was just transmigrating, and he sees this human body and thinks, okay, this is a good place for me to enter, like that.
Okay,
let's continue. So in the next section, actually, this lady is going to explain why this Puranjan soul is the best place for me, or why you are my best husband, why there cannot be a better husband than you. She is going to explain. Okay. Kamnutvad anyam ramaye hyaratigyam makovidam asamparaya bhimukam ashvastana vidam pashum. Tvad anyam kamnu ramaye, other than you, with whom can I enjoy? Aratigyam, rati means conjugal love. Aratigyam means they are, ratigya means knowers of conjugal enjoyment. Aratigya means those who do not know, those who are ignorant of conjugal pleasure. Akovidam, or others are unskilled in sex enjoyment. Asamparaya abhimukam, and others are, they are inexperienced in battle. Or others are ashvastana vidam, they are unable to think of the future. Pashum, just like animals. So who is speaking this? The lady is speaking to Puranjan, isn't it? So what it means is, this lady represents the intelligence which is covered by passion, which we saw yesterday, she was covered by a yellow cloth. So this lady represents a Kshatriya intelligence, an intelligence which is perfectly disposed with the inclinations of a Kshatriya. And then this Puranjan Jiva is a very compatible soul who can accept this intelligence. Therefore, both get attracted to each other. Like for example, if you remember when Dhruva Maharaj was going to forest, and when Narada Muni approached him and he said, you know, he gave him a lot of good advice, you know, this is not good, you know, you should know what is correct and what is wrong and all that. And he says, you know, all that you are telling is right, but it's good for a Brahmana, not for a Kshatriya like me. You know, Kshatriya like me cannot understand this kind of reasoning. This kind of reasoning does not sit well with a Kshatriya like me. So which means that intelligence given by Narada Muni was not compatible with that particular soul, who had a particular disposition, particular psychophysical nature. So here this both Puranjan is getting attracted to this intelligence, and the intelligence is getting attracted to this particular Puranjan soul, means that both are very much compatible. They have the equal ratio of modes. Okay, same ratio of modes. So therefore, here this lady is telling, why I cannot marry others? I have seen so many people, and this is the reason why I have rejected them. First she says, some are aratigyam. They are without knowledge of sensual pleasure. Okay. This refers to the trees, which are completely ignorant. Okay. Is it clear? Lady represents intelligence, and Puranjan represents a particular soul. Okay. She says, I have seen other kings, which means those with the body of trees. I rejected them because they are not knowledgeable of sensual pleasure, conjugal pleasure. Akovidam, some are unskilled at sex enjoyment. This indicates the pashu yoni, animal species. They are not very graceful. Okay, so therefore I have rejected them. Machine like, yeah. Some are asamparaya abhimukam. Some are inexperienced in battle, like the Brahmanas and Vaishyas. So she is rejecting trees. She is rejecting animals because they are not. Some do not know about sensual pleasure. Some are inexperienced at it, like animals. And some, although they may be experienced, but they are not experienced in battle. Okay, like the Brahmanas and Vaishyas. So she is rejecting that kind of yoni also. Okay, then she says, Ashvastana vidam, or some are unable to see the future. Here she is rejecting other kinds of Kshatriyas, who may have the courage of battle, but they don't have the vision to see the future. So she says, you being endowed with all these qualities, I see perfect compatibility between the two of us. Whereas I reject the other kinds of people. Is it clear? So, who falls in the category of aratigyam? Akovidam? Asamparaya abhimukam? Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Shudras, all of them. Ashvastana vidam? Other kinds of Kshatriyas who may not be as endowed like you, like that. Okay? So let's continue. Dharmo hyatrartha kamaucha prajanando mritam yashaha loka vishoka viraja yanna kevalino viduhu. And then she says, I'll tell you, but you may say that I am not interested in marriage. Now let me tell you the glories of grihastha ashram. Okay, he says, atra, in this household life, dharmo artha kamaucha, there is dharma, artha and kama, prajananda, the bliss of children, Amritam, the remnants of sacrifice. Householders are only allowed to perform sacrifice, and there is remnants of those sacrifice available to the householders. Yashaha Loka, attainment of higher planets. Vishoka, full happiness. Viraja, perfect health. Yan, na kevalino viduhu. Kevalinaha refers to Kevalina means sannyasis. Yan, and these kind of things, Kevalinaha na viduhu. The sannyasis do not know about prajananda, they do not know about dharma artha kama, they are interested only in moksha, which anyway you see it's very difficult in this life. Moksha is anyway difficult. And thereafter this moksha. She is basically telling a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. Okay? Accept what is easily available. Whereas the sannyasis, they are after something which is anyway they do not know whether they will achieve it or not. And in trying to go after that, they are giving up what is easily available. Okay? These sannyasis, they do not understand the bliss of prajananda. They do not understand the bliss of dharma, artha, kama. They do not understand the bliss of honoring the remnants of sacrifice. They do not understand the bliss of going to the higher planets. Giving up all that, they are after this only kevalina. Means they are after only one. That is moksha. Which they may get, may not get. Yeah? See how foolish. This is how the material intelligence tries to capture the soul into material enjoyment. This is intelligence. She's the lady, represents intelligence. She's giving various reasons why one should settle down for lower kinds of sense pleasure. Is it clear? So she is criticizing sattvic intelligence by which one may desire to aim for liberation like that. Okay. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, according to the Vedic injunctions, there are two paths, Pravritti Marga and Nivritti Marga. Pravritti Marga indicates the path of sense enjoyment, and Nivritti Marga indicates spiritual life. But even according to Pravritti Marga, if one wants to enjoy sex life, it is only according to the Vedic injunctions. It is never unrestricted. Okay? What is Prabhupada talking about? Why is Prabhupada writing this? Dharmohi artha kamaucha. Kama is also through dharmic, by leading a dharmic life only. Okay. But in the path of Nivritti Marga, sex is completely forbidden. Of the four orders of life, sex is allowed only in the Grihastha Ashram. What is Prabhupada talking about? Prajanando kevalinaha na viduhu. The real bliss of children, the sannyasis cannot understand because it's allowed only in Grihastha Ashram. Okay. Here the woman is advocating Pravritti Marga as she says that the yatis or the sannyasis cannot imagine the happiness of Pravritti Marga. In Pravritti Marga there is happiness in this life in the form of sense gratification, opulence and children, and happiness in the next life, which is Swarga. What is Prabhupada talking about? Yashaha Loka Prajananda. About both he is talking. But one may say that there is birth, death, old age, disease. One may say, Are ye sab hai? Prajananda is there, Swarga is there, everything is there. But still, birth, old age, disease is there. So the lady says, I have a solution for that. We will make you forget all this by creating a festival to, celebrate. You may say that he is 1 year old. You may say that, he has lost 1 year. Don't be so pessimistic. We will celebrate the birthday and make it a very grand. One may say that, you know, he has died. He has left his body. Don't worry, we will celebrate the 13th day. Okay. And make it a grand function. Like that. So, Prabhupada writes, one may say that the Pravritti Marga is filled with many such festivals so that one does not really realize the futility of trying to enjoy in this material world. You know, a festival for everything, whether it is a joyous occasion or not so joyous, but it's always joyous, you know, celebrate a festival like that. Okay, let's continue. Pitrudevarshimartyanam bhutanam atmanaschaha kshemyam vadanti sharanam bhavesmin yadgrahashramaha. Vadanti, they say that asmin bhave grahashramaha kshemyam sharanam. So here in this verse she says, you know what, Puranjan, you should learn to play it safe. That's what she is telling. That asmin bhave, learned people say that in this human birth, household life is the beneficial shelter for the pitas, devas, rishis and martyanam, you know, and human beings like you, atmanascha, and for yourself. That's what intelligent people say. Okay, don't choose the path of celibacy. Okay, because this is we saw that this is intelligence which is predominantly in rajas. That's why she's encouraging. If it was intelligence which was predominantly in mode of goodness, she would have encouraged him maybe for celibacy, like that. So they say that in human birth, you know, household life is the beneficial shelter, not only for oneself, but also for pitas, devatas, sages. Why is it the beneficial shelter for pitas, devatas and sages? Huh? Because in householder life, you can perform sacrifice for their benefit. In no other ashram you are allowed to perform these sacrifices. So therefore she says, by marrying, see how much you benefit. It's such a magnanimous act to marry, because not only you get full shelter, but you give shelter to the pitas, devatas and sages by performing sacrifice. How noble. Like that she's trying to convince Puranjan. Is it clear? So, same thing Prabhupada also writes in the purport. He says, when one is born, he is obligated to the devatas, pitas, bhutas, devarishi, bhutapta, nirnam, pitranam, like that. If one does not repay them, then he gets entangled in his future lives. Okay? So, but if one simply takes shelter of Mukunda, then he is immediately freed of all obligations to others. Nakinkaro nayam rinicharajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam bharihritya kartum. But unfortunately, a grihamedi is not interested in Krishna consciousness because he is being absorbed in sex life. And such a person finds action in Krishna consciousness very confusing. Okay, like that. So then, she continues. Kanama veera vikyatam vadanyam priyadarshanam navrinita priyam praptam madrishitvadrisham patim. O veera, o hero. Ka madrishi nama navrinita tvadrisham patim. Why would a person like me not accept a husband like you? Which means, why would a material intelligence like me, which is endowed with a particular combination of the modes, not accept a jiva like you, who is covered by the same kind of combination of the three modes, which is, therefore we are very compatible. So why would I not accept your association? Like that the lady is mentioning to Puranjan. You are Vikyatam, Vadhanyam, Priyadarshanam, Priyam. You are very famous, you are very generous, you are very handsome, you are very affectionate. Praptam, and whom I have just happened to meet. Why would I not accept you? I think we are the best match. Like that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, okay, every husband is a great hero to his wife. In other words, if a woman loves a man, that man appears very beautiful and magnanimous. Unless one becomes beautiful in the eyes of another, one cannot dedicate his whole life to him. Okay, isn't it? That's how he talks about Veera. And then Prabhupada talks about Vadanya. Why would a woman consider a man or her husband magnanimous? For three reasons. Prabhupada says, for giving her sexual pleasure, for giving her children, and for giving her ornaments, dresses, and other material paraphernalia. For these three reasons, the woman considers her husband very magnanimous. Okay? And then Prabhupada talks about Vikyatam, very famous. A man is always famous for his aggression towards a beautiful woman, and such aggression is sometimes considered rape. Although rape is not legally allowed, it is a fact that a woman likes a man who is very expert at rape. This is one of the controversial statements that Prabhupada has made, and you know, big leaders are trying to reconcile what this actually means. Okay, so let's continue. Kasya manaste bibhogi bhogayoho striyana sajjet bujayor mahabuja yonata vargadi malam grinodhata smitavaloke nacharatya pohitum. O mahabuja, O mighty armed man, kasya bhuvistriya manaha na sajjet te bhogi bhogayoho bujayoho. My dear mighty armed hero, what woman's mind would not be attracted to your snake-like arms? Charati adhim apohitum anata varga. Actually, you travel all over the world to relieve the distress of unsheltered woman by your smiling glance, smitavalokena. O man with extraordinary mercy, grinoddata. Like that she is addressing Puranjan. Okay. So, basically what she is telling is that actually you are my shelter. Not only me, you give shelter to many, many anatha varga like me. Like me indicates what? So, you give shelter to me, which means the living entity gives shelter to the intelligence. Because intelligence cannot function by displaying all its features if it is not animated by the soul, presence of a soul. That's what she basically says. She says, you give me shelter because without the soul, the intelligence cannot function. Isn't it? Because intelligence is inanimate. Isn't it? So, just like an arrow is inanimate, but an arrow in the hands of an archer can, you know, perform its job of, you know, whether depending on what astra it is, Nagastra or Varunastra or whatever it may be, it can perform its function when it is in the hand of an archer. So it is the archer who is giving shelter to that arrow. But in the absence of an archer, even if it may be Brahmastra, it cannot function. So therefore, the lady is telling, you give me shelter, indicating it is the soul which gives shelter to the intelligence. Like that. Is it clear? Okay. So, let's try to recall what we have seen in the last 5 verses. Okay. One of you can read.
You are.
Oh, it's not clear. Is it better or not? I'll just. Okay.
Yeah, it's. You are the best person that I can enjoy with, as some are without sex enjoyment, trees. Some are unskilled in sex, animals. Some are inexperienced in battle, brahmanas, vaishyas, and sudras. And others cannot think of future, animals.
Since I, intelligence, am covered with modes of passion and goodness, because a kshatriya is in the mixed mode of passion and goodness, you will be the best match for me, as you are also similarly covered. The woman is addressing Puranjan, which means the intelligence is addressing Puranjan. Ours will be a compatible match. Trees and animals are in mode of ignorance. Brahmanas are in mode of goodness. Shudras are in ignorance. And Vaishyas are in mixed mode of passion and ignorance. Therefore, they won't be a good match. That's what the intelligence is indicating. Okay.
Accept me and don't think about renunciation, as there is no pleasure of dharma, earth and kama, and pleasures of children and swarga in renounced life.
You, the jiva, who are in mode of passion, can enjoy only dharma, artha and kama that is provided by me. Me, in the sense, intelligence in the mode of passion. Therefore, don't think of liberation, which is for people in mode of goodness.
Only householder life gives shelter to devtas, pitas, sages and humans.
Only by engaging in material sacrifices can you serve the demigods, pitas, sages, etc., not by spiritual life.
Who would not accept a handsome, famous and generous husband like you?
Material intelligence and mode of passion is very much compatible with the jiva, who is also in a similar mode of passion. That's what this means. Is it clear? Clear? So we'll take a small 2-minute break and then we'll resume further. Hare Krishna. We'll start. Okay, so Narada Muni takes us further. Narada Uvacha Iti tau dampati tatra samudya samayam mitaha tam pravishya purim rajan mumudate shatam samaha. So Narada Muni, who is the Rajan mentioned here? Prachina Barhi. Okay. Because there are two kings, Puranjan and Prachina Barhi. Puranjan in the allegorical story and Prachina Barhi in the real story. Though both are the same in one sense. Tau Dampati. Dampati means the husband and wife. Tatra Samudya Samayam Mitaha. Talking and agreeing mutually. Tam Purim Pravishya. Both of them accept each other as their husband and wife, and then they enter the city. Mumudate shatam samaha, and they enjoyed for 100 years. At this point of time, Puranjan the soul accepts the human body and along with this particular intelligence, and he enjoys for 100 years. Okay, let's continue.
Upagiyamano lalitam tatra tatra cha gayakaihi kridan parivrita stribir hradinim avishat shuchau.
Okay, so and when the living entity has enjoyment, when he is awake, okay, there are three states: jagrati, shushupti, and swapa. Three states: awake, sleeping, deep sleep, and dreamy state. Okay, so when someone is the awake state, enjoyment in the awake state was indicated in the previous verse. The man and woman talking and agreeing mutually entered the city and enjoyed for 100 years, which means the living entity was enjoying the pleasures provided by the material intelligence for 100 years while he was awake. But then it is mentioned, praised by singers, surrounded by women while playing. Okay, and then at some other point of time he was surrounded only by women, the males were missing. Guess what state it would be? Dream state, because the male associates indicate senses, woman associates indicate, you can say, impressions. Okay, desires and impressions. So at what stage are the senses inactive but the impressions active? Dreamy state, isn't it? The senses are inactive but the impressions are active. Okay, and then later he entered the river during the hot season, hot weather. Hradinim avishat. Hradini is a lake or a river. Avishat shuchau means in the hot season, in during summer, he alone entered water, which means neither the woman attendants were available nor the male attendants, which means it's the state of deep sleep where the impressions are also inactive, senses are also inactive. He alone entered the lake or the river. That indicates the space in the heart where the jiva resides during deep sleep. Mind is active, senses are inactive. Okay. Eleventh bodyguard.
Mind is the 11th one. It is also male person. Na? Mind is a male person.
Huh?
Mind is the 11th one stronger. It is also male, na? Like senses.
It's also male. Oh, like that. Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. Mind is actually inactive in one sense, because mind processes the, the sense objects that are available. You know, senses give the impressions of sense objects, but when senses are inactive, there is no mind to process that. But the impressions of previous enjoyment are there. Okay, so mind must be active. Actually, otherwise, where is the soul accessing those impressions from? The impressions are stored in mind. Okay. And it's accessing, soul is accessing those impressions during dreamy state, which means mind is active actually.
Mind is active.
Yeah.
Intelligence also active, dream state.
Yeah, swapa is one of the...
So it's like an exception. Though mind is a male, it is exception here.
Yeah. Okay, is it clear? So, the enjoyment during the waking up state was indicated by how he enjoyed with the lady for 100 years. And in this verse, two other states of dreamy state and deep sleep are indicated. Dreamy state is indicated by, the king having association of only the female attendants, which indicate the impressions, and the deep sleep state is indicated by he alone entering into the river during the hot season. Hot season is the deep sleep. River indicates the region of heart where the living entity stays during the time of deep sleep. Is it clear? Okay, let's continue. Sapto parikrita dvaraha purastasyastu dve adaha pritak vishaya gatyartam tasyam yakashchaneshwaraha tasyam puraha, that city yaha kashchana ishwaraha, which had a lord. Sapta dvaraha uparikrita dve adaha. Sapta is seven. So this city had seven gates above and two gates below. Pritak Vishaya Gatyartam. Vishaya Gati. Vishaya literally means sense objects. Vishaya Gati Artam. It means in order to go to various sense objects, or it can also mean in order to go to various places. Prabhupada writes, this is very common in cities. Like if you say, if you take the example, Prabhupada takes the example of Delhi. There is one Kashmiri gate, there is one Lahori gate. Anyone is aware of Delhi topography? No? Hai na? Kashmiri gate hai, Lahori gate. So which means, the Kashmiri gate you take and it takes you in the direction of Kashmir. Lahori gate, it takes you in the direction of Lahore. Like that. So Prabhupada writes, this is very common in cities. You know, there are different gates at the end of the cities which will take you in the direction of another city. So similarly, the human body also, he is talking about these nine gates, Navadwarapur. Seven are above, two are below. Panchadwarastu paurastya dakshinaikata totara paschime dve amushamte namani nripavarnaye. Panchadwarastu paurastya. Five doors face the east. Two eyes, one mouth and two nostrils. Paschime dve. Anus and genitals, they face the west. One south and one north. Dakshina eka tata uttara. The left ear and right ear. Okay. Amusham namani te varne, and I will tell you the names of those dwaras now. Okay. Of course, Puranjan does not, Prachinabarhi does not know. He is actually thinking there are nine gates. Okay. Till now, what we have seen, we will try to summarize. Okay, one of you can read. Adi Purush Prabhu can read.
The man and woman actually agreeing
mutually.
Mutually agreeing, entered the city and enjoyed for 100 years.
The jiva enjoys with the material intelligence during the daytime.
He was sometimes playing with the women surrounding him.
During dreamy state, the jiva with his senses, that is male attendants inactive, enjoys with the sense desires, female attendants.
During summer time, Puranjana entered the river.
During deep sleep, the jiva enters the space in the heart where it resides during deep sleep.
The city had 7 gates above and 2 gates below.
The human body has 7 holes above and 2 holes below.
5 gates were facing east, 2 facing west, 1 facing north and the other facing south.
5 holes are eyes, nostrils and mouth, 2 facing west are anus and genitals, 1 facing north and south are the 2 ears. Okay? Yes. Okay. So now, these next few verses talk about the names of the gates. Kadyotavir mukicha prag dwarav ekatra nirmite vibrajitam janapadam yati tabhyam dyumatsakah. Okay. Kadyota avirmukhi, were facing east. Kadyota avirmukhi cha prag dwarav, they were the two doors which are facing the east were called Kadyota and Avirmukhi. Do you know what is the meaning of Kadyota? It's a glowworm. And Avirmukhi is a torch. Which one of them has more intensity? A glowworm or a torch? A torch. So here it's indicated that the right eye is called Avirmukhi and the left eye is called Kadyota, glowworm. The left eye is generally weaker like a firefly and the right eye is stronger like a torchlight. Therefore the Shruti says that the limbs on the right side of the body are stronger, presumably for a right-handed person, probably. I am not very sure, we have to find that out. And then the two gates named Kadyota and Avirmukhi were facing east. Ekatra Nirmite, were constructed next to each other. Tabhyam, through these gates, the king, that is the soul, Puranjan, Vibrajitam Janapadam Yati. Janapada is a city. Vibrajitam Janapadam Yati. He goes to the city called Vibrajita. Vibrajita literally means form. He goes to the city of form with Dhyuman. Dhyuman indicates two things. One is the deity, presiding deity of ice, sun, Surya Dev. And Dhyuman also indicates the subtle eye. So the king, which means the living entity, along with the Surya Dev and the subtle eye, goes to the city of form, which means through these gross eyes, the living entity enjoys the rupa. That's what it means. Is it clear? Okay. So let's continue. The next two gates. Nalini nalini cha prag dwarav ekatra nirmite avadhuta sakastabhyam vishayam yati saurabham. Prag, again in the eastern direction. Nalini nalini cha dwarav, there are two other gates called Nalini and Nalini. Ekatra nirmite, which are situated next to each other, the nostrils. Tabhyam, through these gates, the king, Puranjan, Avadhuta Sakaha, along with the friend air, therefore the Vayu or air is called Gandavaha, one which carries fragrance, okay, along with his friend air. Vishayam Yati Saurabham, See, Vishaya also means place or city. Vishaya also means sense objects. Vishayam yati saurabham. So the king goes to the place called Saurabha, the city called Saurabha. Saurabha means smell. Okay, like that. Is it clear? So they are called Nalini and Nalini, like that. Mukhya nama purastadvar taya panabahudanau vishayau yati purarad rasagya vipanan vitaha. Purastad, in the same eastern direction, Mukhya nama dvar, there is a another gate by the name Mukhya. Okay, taya, through this gate, rasagya vipana anvitaha, accompanied by rasagya and vipana. Rasagya indicates the subtle tongue which is used for tasting and the sense devata of Varuna. And vipana indicates the tongue, subtle tongue which is used for speech and the sense devata of Agni, fire. Okay, so accompanied by these two friends, Vishayau yati pura rad. What is the meaning of pura rad? Pura means city, rad means king. Pura rad indicates Puranjan. Okay, pura rad yati Vishayau, he goes to the city known as Bahudana and Apana. Bahudana indicates the sense object of taste, and apana indicates speech. Is it clear? Is it clear? So the tongue has two functions, as Prabhupada always mentions. One is vibrating and another is tasting. So using the same gate, you perform two things. Therefore, it is called Mukhya Dwar. Therefore, this Dwar is called Mukhya. Very important. Sevon Mukhehi Jihwadav. Very important Dwar. Because for going to the other two cities, there were two gates. But using this one gate, you could go to two cities. Okay. So this is Nalini, Nalini, but you go to the only one city of Saurabha. Similarly, ears also. Two gates, but one destination. But here it's one gate, but two destinations. Therefore, it's called Mukhya. Very important Dwar, like that. Okay, let's continue. Pitruhur Nripapurya Dwar Dakshinena Puranjanaha Rashtram Dakshina Panchalam Yati Shrutadaran Vitaha Devahur Nama Puryadvar Uttarena Puranjanaha Rashtram Uttara Panchalam Yati Shrutadaran Vitaha. O king, who is the king addressed here? Puranjan or Prachina Barhi? Prachina Barhishat. Who is speaking? Narada Muni. Okay. Dakshinena, facing the southern direction, was the gate known as Pitruhu. Pitruhu Puryadwar Dakshinena. Puranjanaha Dakshina Panchalam Rashtram Yati. And using this door or gate, Puranjan used to go to the city called Dakshina Panchala. Shrutadhara Anvitaha, accompanied by his friend Shrutadhar. Okay. Uttarena, facing the northern direction, Devahur Nama Puryadwar was the gate named Devahu. Puranjanaha Uttara Panchalam Rashtram Yati. Using this door, Puranjan used to go to the city by the name Uttara Panchal. Shrutadhara Anvitaha, along with his friend Shrutadhara. Okay. Here Shrutadhara indicates the subtle ears and the Dig Devatas. Okay. And then Puranjan indicates the soul, what is Dakshina Panchal and Uttara Panchal we will see. Okay. So actually in the Shastras mentioned that the left ear is used for hearing subject matters related to liberation and the right ear is so here it's mentioned that by right ear one first hears Karma Kanda and by the left ear one hears Jnana Kanda. So that's the meaning. Prabhupada also writes in the purport, right ear is for karmakanda activities. As long as one is attached to sense enjoyment, he hears from the right ear and uses the five senses to elevate himself to the higher planets like Pitruloka. Therefore, it's called Pitruhu. Therefore, the right ear is called Pitruhu. But the left ear is used for taking initiation from the spiritual master. That's what I also thought, but I'm just trying to, yeah. Yeah, right ear only you hear. Somehow. So therefore the right ear is for sense gratification in this life and in and further elevation to Pitruloka, and the left ear is for going to higher planets like Mahar, Jana, Tapa and eventually Vaikuntha Loka. Like that. Pitruhu and Devahu. Okay, and it's called, why is the city called Panchala? Can anyone guess? Huh? Only through ear, just by ear, you can hear about all the five sense objects and you can develop attachment to them. So therefore, the city is called Panchala. Like that. Is it clear? Let's continue. So, how many gates are over? Seven gates are over. Five in the east, one in the south, one in the north is over. And the two western gates are remaining. Okay. Asuri nama paschadwar taya yati puranjanah gramakam nama vishayam durmadena samanvitah. On the western side was a gate named Asuri. The name of the gate is Asuri. Taya, using this gate, puranjanah yati gramakam nama vishayam. Puranjan used to go to the city by the name Gramakam. Durmadena samanvitah, accompanied by his friend Durmada. So Durmada refers to the subtle genital, okay, and the sense devata is Mitra, and the Gramakam indicates sex enjoyment, and the Paschadwar, Asuri nama Paschadwar indicates the gross genitals. Okay, so Vishnu Chakradhakur writes, Asuras like to enjoy the senses, therefore the gate is called Asuri. Gramaka means pleasure of the materialistic people. Grama, ka indicates pleasure, grama indicates materialistic pleasure, as in, gramyakata. Okay. So, therefore, grama ka means pleasure of materialistic people, that is sex life. And durmada indicates the infatuated person who wants to enjoy. Daksha is, you're right. Yeah. So Prabhupada also writes in the purport, the word durmadena may be analyzed in this way. Dur means dushta or sinful and mada means madness. Therefore it is said, पिशाची पाहिले येन मती छन्न हाय मायाग्रस्त जेवेर हाय से भाव उदय. When a person is haunted, he becomes practically insane. One who is in an insane condition speaks all kinds of nonsense. Thus, to become engaged in sense gratification, he accepts a friend, Durmada, or one who is badly affected by the material disease. The western gate is called Asuri, also indicates that the people of the west are more addicted to sense gratification and disinclined towards spiritual life. It's very... Prabhupada is writing these purports while he was in the west, so it needs lot of courage to write like this. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Krishna consciousness movement to be preached in the west to transform them. Like that. Okay. So how many gates are over? 8. One gate is remaining. Nirritir nama paschadvar taya yati puranjanah vaishasam nama vishayam lubdakena samanvitah. Nirritir nama paschadvar. On the western side was a gate known as Nirriti. Taya yati puranjanah vaishasam nama vishayam. Using that gate, Puranjan used to go to the city known as Vaishasa. Lubdakena samanvitah, along with his friend Lubdaka. Okay, so Lubdaka indicates the subtle anus, the subtle evacuating region. Okay, and Vaishasa indicates, what does the city of Vaishasa indicate? The act of evacuation. Okay, and what does Nirriti indicate? The gross evacuating region, gross anus. Okay, so Nirriti or destruction is the gross anus, since it is the gate of death. Whenever the soul leaves through the anus, then it's a very inauspicious death actually. Vaishasam or slaughter means excretion. The act of excretion is that organ, or the subtle anus is called Lubdaka or greedy. Lubdaka means greedy, the one who is greedy. Lubdaka, because the pain endured to attain fortune is similar to the pain of excretion. Okay, if you have to hold your, if you want to relieve yourself of the pressure, and if you have to hold it for a long time, how much painful it is, isn't it? Therefore, it is called Vaishasa. Prabhupada writes the same thing in the purport also. Prabhupada writes, due to greed, we indulge in gluttony, and this causes pain at the time of evacuation. Due to greed, that's the connection between Lubdaka and Vaishasa. Lubdaka means greed, Vaishasa means pain. So Prabhupada writes, due to gluttony, what is the meaning of gluttony? Overeating. Due to overeating, we indulge in, due to greed, we indulge in overeating, and this causes pain at the time of evacuation, especially if you don't have a facility to relieve yourself. Isn't it? Extremely painful sometimes. Isn't it? The conclusion is that the jiva feels well if he evacuates properly. Isn't it? The jiva feels well when he evacuates properly. Therefore, if you see, the pranavayu, which is indicative of one's health, is dependent on the apanavayu. Okay, the apanavayu controls the pranavayu actually. Therefore, if you remember the first canto where the descriptions come of how Yudhishthir Maharaj gives up his body, the prana is offered to the apana, and the apana is offered to death. Such kinds of descriptions come. Okay. Why? Because it is the apana which controls the prana, which means proper evacuation is very much controls one's proper health. If that does not happen, that's why whenever any Ayurvedic doctor you go, the first thing he asks for someone who is for the first time going to an Ayurvedic doctor, he might be bewildered. First thing he will ask without even testing you, you know, are you clearing? Pet takes a safora agni. So you might wonder, you know, what's wrong with you? Why you are asking such questions? I came here for headache or some other thing, you know. Why you are asking such questions? Isn't it? Like that. Okay, let's continue. Okay. So this is a summary of what we have seen, but we have already seen, so we don't have to go through it again. So names of the gates, the city that he reaches, and the name of the friend. Friend indicates the subtle organ and the sense devata. The city indicates the sense object. The door indicates the gross organ. Okay. Let's continue. अंदाव अमीशाम पौराणाम निर्वाक पेशस्कृतावुभौ अक्षन अक्षनवताम अधिपतिस ताभ्याम याति करोति च. ओके, सो द 9 होल्स हैव बीन डिस्क्राइब्ड, बट देयर आर 2 ब्लाइंड पीपल आल्सो हु स्टे इन दिस सिटी. देयर आर 2 ब्लाइंड पीपल. अमीशाम पौराणाम अंदाव उभौ. Amongst the inhabitants of the city, there are 2 blind men. Okay. One's name is Nirvak. And the other person's name is Peshaskrit. Okay. So Nirvak means one who cannot speak. Nirvak, no walk. Peshaskrit means, it literally means that... that with which you do something, peshaskrit. And akshanvatam adipatihi. Akshanvatam adipati means the ruler of the gates. Who is the ruler of the gates? Puranjan. He is the ruler of the gates. Akshanvatam adipatihi tabhyam. Tabhyam means using these two people. Taking the help of these 2 people, yati, he walks, karoti, he does. So they indicate feet and hands. So the living entity, using his feet, he walks, using his hands, he does. So therefore, nirvak indicates the legs, peshaskrit indicates the hands. So using them, he walks and he does activities. Is it clear?
But again it came here, it says that leg and feet. So they were previously there only, so it is named here that Nirvak and Peshaskrit. So they are the same person at your home.
They are the same.
Yes, previously it was there.
So now he has married that lady, na? So he has married that lady means whatever belongs to the wife belongs to the husband. So he takes their help and he goes to visits various cities like that. Okay. Sayarhi antapuragato Nirvak and Peshaskrit.
They are also one of those 10 who are accompanying her, no? Karmendriyas also.
Yeah, Karmendriyas.
Correct, no?
Yeah.
So out of the 11 people accompanying her, 2 fellows are blind, is it?
Blind in the sense,
yeah.
They don't have any holes.
Correct, yeah. Correct.
Therefore, they are called blind.
Yes. That's
right. Nostrils has holes, eyes has holes, ears has, but hands and legs do not have holes. So. Okay. Sayarhi antapuragato Vishuchina samanvitah moham prasadam harsham va yati jayatma jodbavam. Sa yarhi antapuragato. Sometimes the king used to go to his private quarters, antapura. Vishuchina samanvitaha, along with his friend Vishuchi. So whichever city he wants to go, he has a particular friend with whom he goes. So when he goes to antapura, he goes along with his friend Vishuchi. And whenever he goes there, sometimes moham, he gets bewildered, he falls into illusion. Sometimes prasadam, he becomes satisfied. And sometimes harsham, he becomes joyful. Jaya atmaja udbhavam, which are created due to his jaya, is wife. Atmaja is children. Okay? So let's try to understand this. Antapura indicates the heart. Okay, when he goes to the heart, along with his friend Vishuchi. Vishuchi indicates the mind. Sometimes the living entity accompanied by the mind enters, goes to the heart region. There he finds his jaya, wife, indicates intelligence. And atmaja indicates sons or children. Children means they are the qualities of intelligence. The various objects of intelligence, such as, like we saw, what are the various characteristics of intelligence? And all those things. So, sometimes when he meets with his intelligence and the various characteristics of intelligence, like discrimination and ascertaining proper knowledge, rejecting improper knowledge and all that, he sometimes is in illusion. Illusion is born out of mode of ignorance. Satisfaction is born out of mode of goodness. Joy is born out of mode of passion. Okay? So that's what it's mentioned here. Antapura is the heart, Vishuchi is the mind. Vishuchi literally means one who wanders everywhere. Okay? Mind wanders everywhere. Therefore it's called Vishuchi. Okay? Illusion arises from tamas, joy arises from rajas, and satisfaction arises from sattva. His wife was the intelligence, the children were the objects of intelligence, such as generalizing, particularizing, ascertaining, and realizing. These are the various characteristics of intelligence. So whenever the living entity meets with these characters, okay, depending on whether he is in mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, it generates a particular kind of emotion in him. Either he gets bewildered if he is in mode of ignorance, he becomes satisfied if he is in mode of goodness, and he becomes joyful if he is in mode of passion, like that. So Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada gives a very similar purport as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, but then later he writes, all these activities are of the mind and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling and willing. When the jiva is encircled by wife, children, etc., he is sometimes satisfied, sometimes happy and sometimes illusioned. Under illusion, he thinks that they can save him from death. Thus thinking, he neglects his real business of going back home, back to Godhead. And then later Prabhupada writes, anyone who is not in Krishna consciousness is considered to be in illusion. Any happiness or satisfaction that is arising from material things are also in illusion. And to get out of this illusion, the only solution is Mam evaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite, like the Prabhupada writes. Is it clear? Let's continue. Evam karmasu samsaktaha kamatma vanchito buddha mahishi yadyad iheta tattat evanva vartata. Evam karmasu samsaktaha, thus being completely attached to his material activities, kamatma, being very lusty, vanchito, being completely cheated, abudaha, being very foolish, mahishi yadyad iheta tattad eva anvavartata, whatever his queen used to do, he used to just blindly follow. Okay, what does it mean? Yeah, the jiva, being completely cheated by the material intelligence, just follows like a puppet whatever the material intelligence pushes him, whatever way the material intelligence pushes him. Okay, so then the next few verses talk about how he is controlled. Kvachit pibantyam pibati madiram madavihvalah ashnantyam kvachit ashnati jakshatyam saha jakshiti. When the queen drank liquor, he also drank. When the queen dined, he used to dine with her. When she chewed, he used to chew with her. Kvachit gayati gayantyam rudatyam rudati kvachit kvachit hasantyam hasati jalpantyam anujalpati. When she sang, he used to sing. When she cried, he used to cry. When she laughed, he used to laugh. When the queen gossiped, he also used to gossip. Kvachit davati davantyam tishtantyam anutishtati anushete shayanayam anvaste kvachit asatim. When the queen ran, the king ran. When the queen would stand still, the king would also stand still. And when the queen would lie down, he would also lie down with her. When the queen sat, he would sit. Kvachit shrinoti shrinvantyam pashyantyam anupashyati kvachit jagrati jagrantyam sprishantyam sprishati kvachit kvachit chashochatim jayam anushochati dinavat anuhrishyati hrishyantyam muditam anumodate. When the queen heard something, he would hear the same thing. When the queen saw something, the king would also see. And when the queen smelled something, the king would smell the same thing. When the queen touched something, the king would also touch it. When the queen lamented, king also lamented in misery. When the queen felt joy, he also felt joy. When the queen was satisfied, the king also felt satisfaction. What does it mean? These descriptions indicate what? What does it indicate? Yeah, the living in prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimodatma karta ahamiti mannite. Wrong identification. He's identifying with matter and thinking while everything is carried out by matter, he thinks he himself is doing. Okay, he's completely conditioned by his material intelligence. That's what this series of verses mean. Okay. So, last verse of this chapter. Vipralabdo mihishyevam sarva prakriti vanchitah nechan anukarot yajnah klaibhyat krida mrgo yata. Mahishya evam vipralabdah, thus being completely cheated by his queen, sarva prakriti vanchitah, and cheated of his own nature, Agyaha, the foolish king, na ichchan, though he did not want to, anukaroti, he followed her, krida mrgoyata, just like a pet animal, klaibhyat, because of falling under another person's control. Okay, he was just following her like a pet animal. Okay, so specifically conditioned by the intelligence, cheated of his own nature of knowledge and bliss. So his own nature is of Satchit Ananda, but he was cheated of that nature. Though not wanting to, the jiva comes under the control of his material intelligence. And then the material intelligence imposes all its qualities on the jiva. And the jiva, identifying with the material intelligence, what happens? Kvachit pibantyam pibanti, kvachit dhavati dhavantyam tishtantyam anutishtati. Why? Because he has started identifying with the material intelligence like that. Is it clear? Okay. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, just to satisfy his desires, the king got the queen and thus became cheated by the material nature. The result was that he became like a pet monkey in the hands of his master. Therefore it is said, tamo dwaram yoshita sangi sangam, like that. So then Prabhupada writes in the next paragraph, therefore the essence is that sex life, whether is it licit or illicit, is binding and it impedes one's spiritual advancement. But by regulating one's sex life, one may eventually be able to give it up and then the spiritual advancement becomes easy. And then Prabhupada writes here, indicating what is the connection between the wife and the material qualities. He says, attraction to wife means to get attracted by material qualities. Of that, one attracted by mode of ignorance is in the lowest stage, and one attracted by mode of goodness is in the highest stage. Mode of goodness also binds one. How does mode of goodness bind? Happiness. Sukha sangena badnati jnana sangena chanaga, Krishna says. By happiness and knowledge, one thinks that he is quite knowledgeable. He is very happy, satisfied. But this is still better, for knowledge gives a better opportunity to accept devotional service. This stage is called the Brahma Bhuta stage. He says, goodness is better. Why? Because naturally this helps one search for the real happiness of devotional service. Prabhupada quotes this verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakangshati. This indicates mode of goodness. Perfectly situated in mode of goodness. But then what follows? Samas Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labate Param. One takes up naturally to pure devotional service. Like that. But then, what about people who are not in mode of goodness? Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the last paragraph, he says, the platform of knowledge is advantageous, but is not imperative. What is the meaning of imperative? Compulsory. It's not compulsory, but it's advantageous. One may directly take up to devotional service and attain knowledge. One need not cultivate knowledge and then take up to devotional service. He says, if one takes up to devotional service, automatically one can develop knowledge. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. Devotional service reveals actual knowledge, and by that one automatically renounces family, friends, etc. Thus one becomes successful. Okay. So like that, this chapter, by this analogy of this body, the city representing the body, the woman representing the materially contaminated intelligence, and the 10 male servants indicating the 10 senses, the unlimited female servants indicating the various impressions and sense desires. By this analogy, he described how the living entity is cheated by his material intelligence. Though it's dharmic material intelligence. Okay. But still, nevertheless, it cheats the living entity. Okay. So we'll continue with the next chapter now. This green signal. Okay. At least few verses we'll cover before we end. Today we will little bit extend the discussion, and then okay. So 25th chapter is clear, the allegory. So let's start with the 26th chapter now. King Puranjan goes to the forest to hunt, and his queen becomes angry. Okay, that's the next. Here a different analogy now Narada Muni is going to create. That's the genius of Narada Muni. Very know, foolproof, perfect analogies to explain various things. Okay. So let's start. So now he creates this analogy of a chariot. The previous chapter he created the analogy of the city. In this chapter he creates a new analogy. Analogy of the chariot. Okay. Let's read. Narada Uvacha Sa Ekadamaheshvaso Ratam Panchashvamashugam Dvisham Dvichakram Ekaksham Trivenum Panchabanduram Ekarashmekada Ekadamanam Ekanidam Dvikubaram Panchapraharanam Sapta Varutam Panchavikramam Haimopaskaram Aruhya Swarna Varmakshayeshudihi Ekadashachamunata Panchaprastam Agadvanam. So the story continues. So Puranjan has married this woman and he thought he would live happily ever after. But it didn't happen. Ekada, once upon a time, okay, Saha Mahaishwaso, Puranjan picked up his great bow, Swarna Varma, and he wore a golden armor. Akshaya Ishudihi, Ishudihi, Ishu is arrow, Ishudihi indicates the quiver. You know quiver? Quiver matlab the container that is used for storing the arrows. Akshaya Ishudihi. He picked up his inexhaustible quiver of arrows. Ekadasha Chamunataha. And he was accompanied by his 11 commanders. Agadvanam. He went to the forest. That's how the story starts. Once upon a time, Puranjan picked up his powerful bow and with his golden armor, inexhaustible quiver of arrows, accompanied by his 11 commanders, went to the forest. Accompanied by a commander among 11, which means 10 senses and the mind as the commander. Okay. Ratham Aruhya, he sat on his chariot. Pancha Ashwam Ashugam. Pancha Ashugam Ashwam. That chariot was driven by 5 horses which were very swift. Agadvanam, he went to the forest. Haima Upaskaram Dvi Isham. The golden chariot had 2 shafts. Dvichakram, 2 wheels. Eka Aksham, 1 axle. 3 Venum, 3 flags. 5 supports. Pancha Banduram. Eka Rashmi, 1 rein. Eka Damanam, 1 chariot driver. Eka Needam, 1 sitting place. Dvikubaram, 2 poles to which the yoke was fixed. Pancha Praharanam, 5 weapons. Sapta Varutam, 7 protective coatings. Pancha Vikramam, the chariot of widespread exploits moved to 5 destinations. Okay. If someone knows, if someone is a mechanical engineer, okay, you can try to figure out, you know, it's a good group activity. If someone, you know, is good mechanical engineer who knows the purpose of all these components of a chariot. Abhijit Prabhu. He was a professor also. Okay. So maybe you can, you know, how these represent the various aspects, because Narada Muni apparently a Brahmana. I was not even aware that a chariot had so many different parts. So he's very nicely explaining this thing. He says, once upon a time, the king, Who is the king? Puranjan, the soul. Maha Ishwa, so he took up his great bow. What does the bow indicate? The bow indicates doer mentality. Okay. The bow indicates absorption and being the doer and enjoyer. You know, I have the bow. Bow indicates controller, isn't it? Now I have the control. And then the golden armor indicates the mode of passion. Kshatriyas are filled with mode of passion. Okay. Akshaya Ishudihi, the inexhaustible quiver indicates what? Inexhaustible desires, material desires that the living entity has. Okay. Ekadasha Chamunataha. What are the Ekadasha? Huh? The 10 senses along with the mind. Because each one of these senses, mind, etc., they have multiple functions. Therefore, if you see in this description, mind is also addressed as the commander. Mind is also addressed as the reins. Okay. So therefore, because mind has multiple functions. Okay. So, anyway, let's continue. Mind is called, okay, let's continue. He sat on his chariot. Chariot indicates, I want you to guess. Don't look at the answer and tell. If you can guess, it would be nice. Indicates the body. Body, chariot indicates the body. While in the previous analogy, it indicates the city, indicated the represented the body. In this analogy, the chariot represents, the body is represented by the chariot. Pancha Ashugam Ashwam, which is driven by 5 very swift horses. What are the 5? The Gyanendriyas. They are very swiftly run towards their sense objects. Okay. Agad Vanam, forest indicates sense object. The senses will run towards the sense object. In fact, forest indicates sinful sense gratification, where objects of sinful sense gratification are available. That is represented by the forest. Clear? Okay. Haima Upaskaram Dvi Isham. The golden chariot had 2 shafts. 2 shafts. Okay. These are the 2 aspects of ego. Ahankar and Mamakar. Ahankar and Mamakar. These are the 2 shafts. Okay. 2 shafts are indicated by Ahankar and Mamakar. Dvi Chakram. The chariot had 2 wheels. Okay. Which are sinful and pious acts. These are the 2 wheels of this chariot. 1 axle. The 1 axle is the Pradhan. Which is the material source of all that you see in this material world. That is the axle. 3 venum. 3 flags. The 3 flags are the 3 gunas. Okay. Pancha Banduram, it has 5 supports. What are the 5 supports? 5 life heirs. You are guessing or seeing? Okay. Eka Rashmi, 1 rain. Mind. Okay. Here it is mentioned, the mind is called the reins because of its desires or impressions. Okay. But it is called, because if you see, think about it, the horses are compared to the senses, the reins are compared to the mind. Okay. Why is the reins compared to impressions, mind compared to reins? Because the reins has impressions. Okay. Coming through the senses. Otherwise, if the, even though the horses may run towards the Otherwise, how will the horses run towards the sense objects if it did not have a previous experience of enjoyment? That's why the mind is compared to the reins. Is it clear? Unless one has a previous impression of enjoying a particular... If no one has ever seen a gulab jamun in his life, like the first time Yamuna Mataji came to meet Srila Prabhupada, when he gave her a gulab jamun dripping with the sugar syrup, she could not figure out what it was. So she didn't feel very much attracted to that. But later, when she tasted it and developed that impression of experiencing it, then she wrote cookbooks after cookbooks explaining how to prepare it. Okay, so the mind, you know, is the reservoir of impressions. Therefore, it's compared to the reins.
Rishi, who never saw a woman, unke father ne usko just hold him. But first time when he saw, he was attracted.
In that life, he was.
How that he got.
In that particular lifetime, he never saw a woman. But that was not his first lifetime.
That means
he would have experienced it in many, many, many other lifetimes before. Isn't it? Okay, then. Eka Damanam, one chariot driver. Who is the chariot driver? Intelligence. Okay. Eka Needam, one sitting place. Heart. Dvikubaram, two poles to which the yoke was fixed. Okay. Two poles to which the yoke was fixed. Indicates lamentation and illusion. Okay, these are the two poles. Pancha Praharanam, the five weapons are the activities of the five Gyanendriyas, such as hearing, touching, etc. Okay. Sapta Varutam, and the chariot had seven different coverings, indicating the Sapta Dhatus, seven Dhatus. Okay. Pancha Vikramam, this chariot moved in five directions, indicating the five sense objects, isn't it? If the horses represent senses, their destinations are the sense objects. Like that, he describes this expedition. So, this Puranjan going to the forest indicates... So Puranjan, if you see, he is going to the forest while leaving his wife at home. Wife indicates dharmic intelligence, dharmic material intelligence. So the Puranjan leaving his wife at home and going to the forest indicates the living entity, dharmic living entity, sometimes getting strayed from his dharmic material intelligence and goes to commit adharmic sinful activities. That's what this chapter talks about. The psychology of sinning and getting reinstated back in one's dharmic state. That is described in this chapter. The dynamics between the living entity trying to stop himself from engaging in sinful activities and reinstating himself back in his dharmic state. That is described in this 26th chapter. That is described by the living entity Puranjan going to the forest for hunting. Hunting indicates enjoying sinful sense gratification. Okay, yes, bro. Intelligence
is not dharmic intelligence.
Huh?
Chariot driver.
It's the sinful intelligence.
Sinful intelligence.
Yeah, not dharmic intelligence. Okay, so let's continue. Yeah, which means? Oh, Paramatma oblique intelligence, right? अच्छा परमात्मा सो इट्स मेंशन इन द नोट्स नोट्स या प्रभुपाद राइट सर प्रभुपाद राइट्स परमात्मा See, in the traditional, like Prabhupada writes in the previous chapter also, ideally the intelligence is guided by Paramatma. That's when, that is the, you know, hierarchy. Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya paramanah. In this case, it's sinful intelligence. It's not guided by Paramatma. Okay. We'll read the purport. Okay. So Prabhupada here writes, okay, the three modes are compared to the three flags. Okay, by the flag one can easily know the owner of the chariot. Similarly, by the influence of the three modes one can easily know the direction in which the chariot is moving. In other words, one who has eyes to see can understand how the body is being driven, influenced by a particular mode, isn't it? Simple, by the choices that we make in our day-to-day life. Here Narada Muni wanted to prove to Prachina Parishad that he was being influenced by mode of ignorance, even though he was supposed to be very religious, which means the act of going for hunting. Okay. Even though animal sacrifice is recommended in Karmakanda section of the Vedas, it is for those who have been influenced by mode of ignorance. But there is no place for animal killing in the transcendental religious system of Vaishnavism. Such a system is recommended by Krishna. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Okay, like that. Here, Puranjan going to the forest to kill animals is symbolic of the jiva being driven by mode of ignorance and thus engaging in different acts of sense gratification. Material body under the influence of the three modes is driven to enjoy material resources, but under mode of ignorance, this infection is acute. Under mode of passion, this infection is in symptomatic state. And under mode of goodness, this infection is purified. So let's continue. Chachara mrigayam tatra drupta ateshu karmukah vihaya jayam atad arham mrigavyasana lalasah. Mrigavyasana lalasah, very much fond of hunting, which means very much inclined to perform sinful sense gratification. Vihaya jayam, giving up his dharmic intelligence. Atad arham, which was very difficult to give up. For a noble soul who is very pious, even though sometimes he may be strayed away from dharma to perform an inappropriate act, it's a great internal struggle for him. That is indicated by the word atad arham. Because this soul, Puranjan soul, is a very dharmic soul. Even though he is interested in sense gratification, he is interested in dharmic sense gratification. So therefore, sometimes when he strays away, it's a great struggle. That is indicated by the word vihaya jayam atad arham, giving up his wife, which was very difficult to give up. Driptaha, full of pride. Atta ishu karmukaha. Karmukaha is bow. Ishu is arrow, which means picking up his arrow indicates with full of thinking himself the doer and enjoyer, and arrows indicate attraction and repulsion. Okay, chachara mrigayam tatra, he went to the forest to hunt. indicates he went to perform sinful sense gratification. Is it clear? Okay, let's continue. Action. This chapter, it more talks about sinful sense gratification. Giving up his wife. How does the living entity, dharmic living entity, the psychological struggles that he undergoes when he takes up to a sinful life, or when he performs a sinful act, and what happens psychologically when he wants to reinstate himself back into a dharmic state, that is described in this chapter. Asurim vrittim ashritya ghoratma niranugraha nyahanan nishitair banair vaneshu vanagocharan. Asurim vrittim ashritya, taking shelter of demoniac tendencies, ghoratma, with a vicious heart, niranugraha, without compassion, nyahanan vaneshu vanagocharan, he killed wild animals in the forest, nishitair banair, with his sharp arrows. These are the activities of King Puranjan. How does it translate in the story of soul Puranjan? Taking shelter of demoniac tendencies, with a vicious heart, without compassion, he killed wild animals. He performed sinful sense gratification with his sharp arrows, endowed with attraction and repulsion. He engaged in sinful sense gratification. Okay. So, let's do a quick recap of what we have seen. So, first three verses we have already seen. We will not, you know, what indicates what. Okay, let's see. Once upon a time, King Puranjan took up his great bow and, equipped with golden armor and an inexhaustible quiver, accompanied by a commander among 11, he sat on his chariot, driven by 5 swift horses, and went to the forest. Once upon a time, soul Puranjan, endowed with the mentality of doer and enjoyer, and equipped with mode of passion and unlimited material desires, along with his mind and senses, sat on his chariot of body, driven by 5 swift horses of Gyanendriyas, and went to perform sinful sense gratification. Clear? The golden chariot had 2 shafts, 2 wheels, 1 axles, 3 flags, 5 supports, 1 rein, 1 chariot driver, 1 sitting place, 2 poles to which the yoke was fixed, 5 weapons and 7 protective coverings. The body, which is compared to the golden chariot, was made up of ego and possessiveness, sinful and pious acts, pradhan, the 3 gunas, 5 pranas, mind, intelligence, heart, lamentation and illusion, hearing, smelling and other acts of the gyanendriyas, and the 7 dhatus, which is indicated by the 7 protective coverings. The chariot moved to 5 destinations. The body performed actions like walking, etc., through the 5 karmendriyas. Fond of hunting, giving up his wife, King Puranjan took his bow and arrow and went to hunt in the forest. Fond of committing sinful sense gratification, giving up his dharmic intelligence, which is wife, absorbed in being the enjoyer, which is the bow, and endowed with attraction and repulsion, which is indicated by the arrows, soul Puranjan went to commit sinful sense gratification, which is compared to hunting in the forest. Taking shelter of demoniac tendencies, with vicious heart, without compassion, King Puranjan killed wild animals with his sharp arrows. Taking shelter of demoniac tendencies, with vicious heart, without compassion, soul Puranjan engaged in sinful enjoyment, endowed with attraction and repulsion. Okay, this is what we have seen till now. But the question arises, King Puranjan is a Kshatriya. For a Kshatriya, hunting is not prohibited. It is not sinful for a Kshatriya to hunt. Soul Puranjan, the same Puranjan is a soul. For any soul, sense gratification by itself is not sinful. Okay? Then why is the word demoniac used to address both the Puranjans? That question arises. Narada Muni addresses that issue. Because naturally, Prachina Barhi may think, I also go for hunting, I also kill animals. Why do you call Puranjan demoniac? Am I also demoniac? Like that. So immediately Narada Muni addresses that point. So this is, the next three verses are a slight digression from the storyline. So we'll go there and then come back to the storyline. Okay. So Narada Muni gives the, why is it called demoniac? So he says, Tirteshu pratidrishteshu raja medyan pashun vane yavad artam alam lubdo hanyad iti niyamyate. Raja, under what circumstances can a king kill and not incur sinful reactions? Raja, lubdo, he has to be greedy for meat. Hanyad, medyan pashun, even if he is greedy for meat, he may not kill any animal. He can kill only those animals which are suitable for sacrifice. And he cannot kill on any day. Tirteshu pratidrishteshu, only on specific days when particular kinds of shraddha rites are performed, only on those days he can go for hunting and kill. And he cannot kill in his palace compound. He has to go to the forest to hunt and kill. Vane. And even though all these concessions are there, he cannot kill as many animals as he wants. He must kill only as much as necessary for that sacrifice. Alam, not anymore. Iti niyamyate. This is how hunting is regulated in the scriptures. Okay? So what are the rules? He must be greedy for meat. Okay? And he must kill only those animals which can be offered in sacrifice. And only for specific shraddha rites. Only in the forest. And only as much as necessary, not more. These are the scriptural rules for hunting. If a king hunts by satisfying all these conditions, then it is not a, he will not incur any sinful reactions. Okay. So then he continues. Ya evam karma niyatam vidvan kurvita manavah karmanatena rajendra jnanena nasalipyate. O Rajendra, my dear king, vidvan manavah, any intelligent person, yaha niyatam karma kurvita, who acts according to such regulations, tena karmana nasalipyate, such a person is never contaminated by that action. Why? Jnanena. Because such an action arises from knowledge of all these rules and regulations. Okay? Like that, he says.
Anyata karma kurvano mana rodo nibadhyate guna pravaha patito nashta pragyo vrajatyadaha.
He says, rather, if he performs anyata karma, anyata karma means karma which is not regulated, which is against such regulations, mana rodo, thinking himself to be the doer, nibadhyate, he becomes bound by such actions. Guna pravaha patito nashta pragyo vrajatyadaha. Such a person, falling under the influence of the gunas, he loses his intelligence and sinks down. Who is speaking these verses? Narada Muni is speaking to Prachina Barhi. Why is he speaking these verses? Because he may wonder that I am a king. I also go for hunting. Why is it demoniac? I never heard such a thing. So here Narada Muni is clarifying. Don't feel like that. Okay. There is a specific reason why it was mentioned like that. Because one who does not hunt according to these kind of rules and regulations as given in scriptures, such a person is certainly demoniac. Is it clear? So that's what he has mentioned. Dharmic hunting according to the scripture means only a king can kill. Only if he is greedy for meat, he should kill only those animals suitable for sacrifice. Killing can be done only on special Shraddha dates, only in the forest, only as much as necessary, not more. If one acts according to the scriptural injunctions, then he is not bound by the reactions, and such actions are not born out of demoniac tendencies. But if he performs unregulated actions, he then thinks himself the doer and becomes bound by these actions. Falling under the influence of gunas, he loses his intelligence and he sinks down. Okay? So, now the story continues. Just few more verses we'll take and then we'll end today. Okay? Just few minutes more. So now, the story continues. Tatra nirbhinna gatranam chitra vajayarshili mukaihi viplavo bodhukitanam dussaha karunatmanam. Viplavaha, this killing of animals, dukkitanam, nirbhinna gatranam, who suffered a lot because their limbs were being pierced by his arrows. Chitra vajaihi, shili mukaihi. Okay, chitra vajaihi means beautiful feathered arrows. They looked so beautiful in the forest tatra. Dussahaha karunatmanam, for the compassionate people, it was very unbearable to watch such an act of cruelty being performed by this Puranjan. Okay. So, but this is King Puranjan acting. How does this translate in the story of Puranjan the soul? Seeing such sinful sense gratification being committed by this dharmic soul Puranjan, compassionate devotees could not tolerate. That's what it means. Okay? Compassionate devotees could not tolerate. Okay. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, demoniac people are engaged in the four vices, but bogus swamis, they encourage them to continue with this nonsense, and at the same time, they encourage them to practice some so-called meditation. Compassionate devotees cannot tolerate this, and therefore they are busy in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. Okay. Narada Muni is explaining that devotees like him are pained by all this killing. Not only are saintly persons pained, but also the Supreme Lord himself is pained. Therefore he comes as Lord Buddha to stop this. Okay, like that. So Prabhupada writes, people say that animals have no soul and are something like dead stone. Why do they say that? To rationalize their sin. But in fact, it is their heart that is like a dead stone. Therefore, no philosophy appeals to them. Prabhupada is quite strong. You people, you call the animals as dead stone, having no life. In fact, it is your heart which is like a dead stone. Therefore, no philosophy is appealing to you like that. Okay, let's continue. Shashan, Varahan, Mahishan, Gavayan, Rurushalyakan, Medyan, Anyamscha Vividan, Vinignan, Shramamadyagat. Okay. After killing rabbits, boars, buffaloes, wild cows, antelopes and porcupines, which are suitable for sacrifice, he became tired. Okay. So can you please, I will read. Now I will take the role of King Puranjan. You please try to translate it. Okay. After killing these various animals which are suitable for sacrifice, after enjoying sinful sense gratification, he became tired. He became repentant. So, Puranjan, after hunting these animals, becoming tired, indicates that the living entity, the dharmic living entity, after straying away from dharma and engaging in sinful sense gratification, he feels repentant. That is indicated by Puranjan becoming tired. Okay, is it clear? So Prabhupada writes in the purport, becoming tired is compared to repenting for one's sins after meeting a saintly person and becoming aware of religion. Then they abandon the four vices. This is the beginning of religious life. Those who are so-called religious people those who are so-called religious and indulge in these four vices are pseudo-religionists. However sinful one may have been, if he repents his past acts and stops them by receiving knowledge from a spiritual master, he then immediately becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, like that. Tatak shutrat parishranto nivritto grihame ivan kritasnano chitahara samvivesha gataklamaha. Tatah, thereafter, kshutrat parishrantah, completely exhausted from hunger and thirst, nivritto griham eivan, he gave up hunting and returned home. Kritasnana, he took bath. Uchita ahara, he ate proper food. Gataklamaha, and being completely refreshed, samvivesha, he took rest. Looks like this verse is predicting what's going to happen in the next half an hour or so. Exhausted from hunger and thirst, he gave up hunting, returned home, he took bath, ate proper food, and being refreshed, took rest. Okay, I will read sections. You please try to translate. Exhausted from hunger and thirst, repentant on because of his acts of sin. Nivritto, he gave up hunting. He gave up his sinful life. Griham eivan, he returned home. He returned back to his dharmic consciousness. Kritasnana, he took bath. What does it mean? He invited the brahmanas and had them perform some atonements for his sinful acts. Uchita ahara means he gave up improper food and ate proper food which was offered to the Supreme Lord. Prasad, you can say. Okay. And gataklamaha, feeling completely reformed. Samvivesha, he took rest, means he became somewhat steady in his dharma. That's what it means. Is it clear? So Prabhupada writes in the purport, generally when a person is afflicted by mode of passion or ignorance, then he is afflicted by lust or greed. But when he comes back to good sense, he wants to retire from all such activities. In Vedic civilization, this stage is called Vanaprastha. This is very important to free oneself from sinful life. Vanaprastha Prabhupada writes. Krita snana and uchita ahara indicates accepting a spiritual master and hearing from him about values of life. That is the meaning of krita snana and uchita ahara. Then one feels refreshed, just as one feels after taking bath. Okay, just two more verses and then we'll end. Okay, that will be half of this chapter. Atmanam arhayam chakre dhupa lepasragadibihi sadvalankrita sarvango mahishyam adade manah. Atmanam arhayam chakre. Then after taking bath, after taking rest, he worshipped himself. Dhupa. He worshipped himself with incense, ointments and garland. Sadhu alankrita sarvango, with well-groomed body, he then remembered his queen. Mahishyam adade manaha. Atmanam arhayam chakre dhupa lepa srag adibihi. It means atmanam arhayam chakre. He worshipped himself means he purified himself. How did he purify himself? Dhupa lepa srag adibhi. Dupa is incense, lepa is ointments, srag is garlands. But here it means he purified himself by honoring the devotees, sages and wise men, and by hearing from them he purified himself. That is the meaning of atmanam arhayan chakke dupa lepa srag adibhi. Sadhu alankrita sarvango. Now that he has ornamented himself nicely, he has a well groomed body, which means he felt internally purified. Mahishyam adade manaha. He immediately remembered his dharmic intelligence. Okay, as soon as one feels repentant of his sinful activities, he remembers his dharmic intelligence and he wants to get reinstated back in his original state of dharma. That's what this indicates. Is it clear? He purified himself by in hearing from wise people, sages and devotees. Okay. So let's do a quick recap. So I'll take the role of Puranjan the soul. One of you take the role of Puranjan the king. Whoever has the mic.
Such a violent killing of King Puranjana was
unbearable for compassionate people. Such sinful acts by soul Puranjan was unbearable for the compassionate devotees.
After killing animals appropriate for sacrifice, King Puranjan became tired.
After engaging in sinful enjoyment, soul Puranjan became repentant.
Then exhausted from hunger and thirst, he gave up hunting and returned home.
Then troubled on remembering his sinful acts, he gave up those sinful acts and established himself in dharma.
He took bath, ate proper food.
He invited the brahmanas and had them perform atonements for him, which is compared to bathing. He also gave up meat and liquor and started to eat proper food. Taking bath and eating proper food also refers to accepting a spiritual master and hearing from him about values of life, as written by Prabhupada.
Thus being refreshed, he took rest.
Thus he became steadily situated in his dharmic state.
He worshipped himself with incense, ointments and garland.
He purified himself internally by honoring devotees, sages and wise men, and by hearing from them the instructions on dharma and knowledge.
With well-groomed body, he then remembered his queen.
When internally he was completely attached to the rules of scriptures, he remembered his dharmic intelligence. Okay? One last verse, we'll end there. Tripto hrishtasru duptascha kandarpa krishtamanasaha navyachashtavararoham grihinam grihamedinim. Tripto hrishtaha sudruptascha, satisfied, joyful and proud. Kandarpa akrishtamanasaha, his mind enamored by Cupid. Navyachashta vararoham grihinim grihamedinim. Navyachashta, he could not see his beautiful wife. This is a very interesting verse. Okay. So he has repented for his digression from dharma. Okay. And he is convinced that he should follow a dharmic path. But still, the dharmic intelligence does not get reinstated immediately. That is the meaning of he could not see his beautiful wife. He is feeling attracted. Kandarpa akrishta manasaha. He is feeling very much attracted to his wife, which means the living entity is very much being attracted to the dharmic intelligence, but the wife does not return back immediately. Which means the dharmic intelligence does not get reinstated immediately. Isn't it? Sometimes, let's say someone is, let's see an example. Someone decides that, you know, I will eat healthy food henceforth. Okay? No fried, no sweet, nothing. Okay? But then he follows it for some time and then digresses. Let's say for the next 10 days, 12 days, he gives up all those rules and he ends up eating a lot of fried and sweets. So then he realizes, what did I do? You know, I'm having again so much problem, you know, I'm again constipation and all those problems are recurring. So he decides that, you know, I want to give up and I want to return back to my follow or my original vow. Even though he has decided, but because the last 2 weeks he has eaten, you know, fried food and sweets, the next time he sees fried food or sweets, he naturally gets attracted, isn't it? Or sometimes someone decides, you know, I want to wake up early. And he has been waking up late for the last 2 weeks or 1 month. And suddenly, even though he has decided to wake up early, it's not that automatically the next day he wakes up early. Okay? It becomes very difficult, isn't it? Because those the dharmic intelligence does not get reinstated immediately. Even though you are convinced that you want to reform, but then it's difficult to get over the bad habit. In fact, it's good in one sense, because if whenever you wanted to change, if dharmic intelligence immediately got reinstated, then one would not think twice before performing a sinful activity, before choosing to stray away from dharma. So therefore, by nature, it is devised in such a way that whenever a dharmic soul wants to stray away from dharma, and when he returns back, his dharmic intelligence does not immediately cooperate, so that he understands the gravity of his act. What does it mean that the intelligence does not get reinstated immediately? What does it mean? Ability to discriminate, discrimination and determination. He wants to get up, but the next day morning, again he snoozes the alarm and continues to sleep. The determination to get up does not come. And the discrimination that if he gets up, he will be benefited, that is also lost. So that intelligence does not get reinstated back again immediately. So, the next half of the chapter, we will see how Puranjan tries to cajole his wife somehow with sweet words so that she becomes convinced. So what it really means is that the dharmic living entity, having strayed away from dharma, has to really work hard on his part to completely reinstate himself back on the path of dharma. That is the second half of the chapter. That's what it's going to talk about. So here in this verse we see how, though Puranjan is convinced of his improper behavior, he is very convinced, he wants to return back, but then the determination and discrimination does not return back immediately. It takes time. He has to work for it. It doesn't naturally come. Okay? So we'll stop there, and tomorrow His Grace Radhika Allah Prabhu will continue. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Can someone read translation? 13th.
Elevated to higher consciousness, he became captivated by Cupid and was moved by a desire to find his wife who kept him satisfied in his household life.
Yeah.
So he was searching to go and find out his wife. Whereas here he says he did not see his beautiful wife. He says here.
Yeah, Navyachashta.
Whereas here it says he became captivated by Cupid and was moved by a desire to find his wife. It says here.
He was moved by a desire. He wanted to find his wife who kept him satisfied in household life.
Yeah.
But he could not see her.
Oh,
he had a desire to see.
Oh, really? He did not see means I thought that he didn't go to see, I think. I thought like that.
No, he was searching for her.
Oh, he was
enamored by Cupid means he became enamored by Cupid to enjoy with his wife.
But he could not find her.
But he could not find her.
Ah, okay, okay.
Question, shall I give?
Hare Krishna. One, summarize the words of the woman to Puranjan. Summarize what the woman spoke to Puranjan. And write salient points from purports of 34 and 39. Same question. Salient points from purports of 34 and 39. Then second question. I don't know how easy it would be, but make a tabular form as given in the study guide. The gates. On the 9 gates of body. Gates and king's destination and accompanying friends also. The whole full table. Then the next question. Gates, destination and accompanying friends. Make a tabular form. Then third question. Pictorially present all the items mentioned in 4.26.1, 2, and 3. You draw a chariot, draw a Puranjan, draw the wheels, everything. Okay, and label them. 1, 2, and 3. First three verses. Right. So, all. What are the 5 weapons? Everything. So, it's there in the study guide. This you present victorially. Then, second, write a brief note on animal killing, based on 26th chapter. Brief note on animal killing, based on the verses and purports of 26th chapter covered so far. Then, last question. Write the verse and translations of 4.26.7 and 8. 7 and 8. And write salient points from 8th purport. Purport number 8. Okay. So, first question, 10 marks. Second question, 10 marks. Third question, 15 marks. Fourth question, 5 marks. Last question, 10 marks. Okay. So, last question, no need to quote 7th verse. Just write the 8th verse and purport. That is 10 marks. 10, 10, 15, 5, 10. Right now? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.